KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have a partly cloudy sky now, and it's 20 degrees. We look for it to be partly cloudy today with a high of 32. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. The news is brought to you by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. Well, thanks to a wetter-than-normal year, water releases from the reservoir system, which regulate the Missouri River, are being cut back for winter, but not as drastically as normal. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers is preparing for the river for the season ahead. The Corps' Mike Swenson, one of the Missouri River Water Management Office team leaders, says the overall goal is to prep reservoirs to handle runoff from rain and snowpack that will be melting in the spring.
The whole idea is just to, you know, continue to monitor throughout the year and make adjustments as necessary to make sure the reservoir system's in good shape to handle that runoff.
Releases said Gavin's Point Dam will drop to 21,500 cubic feet per second. That's higher than the normal drop of between 12,000 and 17,000 cubic feet per second. Last year, the Corps dropped releases to 18,000 cubic feet per second at the beginning of the winter and then lowered them to 17,000 CFS later in the winter months.
It's still a lower release than we have during other times of the year, but it's just slightly higher for the winter.
Swenson says the higher levels will have multiple impacts.
With the higher winter release, that does provide some benefits. For example, the hydropower, a little bit more winter energy produced, and then also it typically helps out the water intakes, you know, below the reservoir system.
Swenson says the higher water should also help to prevent ice jams this winter. News time is 8:01. The 13 candidates running for governor who gathered at a forum this past week agree that there is a need for more long-term care options for mentally ill Iowans. Three of the candidates support reopening the state-run mental health institutes in Clarinda and Mount Pleasant. Nearly all agree the insurance companies managing care for Medicaid patients have created chaos for those dealing with a mental illness. John Norris of Des Moines was one of the seven Democratic candidates who attended the event.
The governor needs to admit failure. That's a part of being a leader.
Republican Governor Kim Reynolds recorded a brief video message that was played during the event.
Today, Iowa's mental health system is serving more Iowans in more modern ways with better services in more local home and community settings than ever before.
Former Iowa Democratic Party Chairwoman Andy McGuire, a doctor who's running for governor, scoffed at those remarks.
And I don't know what state she's living in, but it's not the state I'm living in.
Nate Bolton is a state senator from Des Moines who's also seeking the Democratic nomination for governor.
We have a serious mental health crisis in this state, and we need to have serious conversations about answers.
Bolton would reopen the state mental health institutes. Democrat Fred Hubbell says the emphasis should be on boosting community-level services.
Mental health shows up differently in every family, in every neighborhood, in every community.
Brent Roski, an independent candidate for governor, says it's time for a single-payer health care system that will cover treatment for mental illness.
We need to look at this as something that we expect, just like police, fire, K-12. It's a benefit of citizenship, and it has to be addressed now.
The forum opened with a moment of silence to recognize Iowans who are struggling with mental illness or an addiction. Jake Porter of Council Bluffs, a libertarian running for governor, told the crowd that years ago he contemplated suicide.
None of this is going to change until we address the stigma behind discussing mental health.
More than 400 people attended the forum on Tuesday night. It was organized by the Des Moines Register and hosted by Des Moines University and the Iowa Hospital Association. Well, a detective says an Iowa mother on trial in the starvation death of her 16-year-old daughter sent ranting texts saying that she hated her children and called them worthless. The Des Moines Register reports that West Des Moines Police Detective Chris Morgan testified both Thursday and Friday about the text messages sent to others by 43-year-old Nicole Finn. She's pleaded not guilty to murder, kidnapping, and child endangerment in the 2016 death of 16-year-old Natalie Finn. Natalie weighed just 85 pounds at the time of her death. Morgan says Nicole Finn wrote in March of 2016 text that they are worthless. I can't stand them. Morgan says Finn sent another text to her son after Natalie's death saying she'd messed up. The prosecution rested its case on Friday. Finn's defense team will present their case on Monday. A mistrial has been declared for one of the defendants in an eastern Iowa homicide. The attorney for Eric Campbell Jr. asked for the mistrial Thursday when a witness who didn't know Campbell at the time of the crime and previously couldn't identify him mentioned his name during her testimony. The new trial hasn't been set. The trial was moved to Waterloo because of pretrial publicity in the Dubuque area. Campbell is one of the men charged with killing 21-year-old Colin Brown on April 2nd of last year during a robbery attempt at a trailer park in the Dubuque County community of Key West. Two other men, Dakari Menifee and Mary Hall, have already been convicted and sent to prison in connection with that crime. For a second time, a man has been found guilty of murder in the 2000 disappearance of his fiancée. A judge on Friday found 51-year-old Tate Perk guilty of second-degree murder for the death of Cora Okonski, whose body has never been found. In May, an Iowa County jury convicted Perk of murder in the case, but a judge found the verdict wasn't backed by evidence. Okonski disappeared on April 16th of 2000 while she was living with Perk in Tama. Perk had told authorities that she had left to buy cigarettes and never returned. A former fellow inmate of Perk's testified that Perk told him that he'd killed his fiancée during an argument, kept her body in a bathroom closet overnight, and then buried her. The Forest City School Board has accepted the resignation of an elementary school teacher placed on administrative leave following racial comments about high school basketball players that aired on an online broadcast. The board unanimously approved on Friday the agreement with third-grade teacher Holly Jane Kusserow-Schmidt, who will receive her full contracted salary for the school year. Kusserow-Schmidt was working as a radio producer for station KIOW on November 28th when she was heard laughing and agreeing with announcer Orrin Harris, who referred to the Eagle Grove boys basketball team as believed to be Hispanic because of their names as foreigners, and saying that they should go back from where they came from. Both Harris and Kusserow-Schmidt were fired from the station. In her resignation letter, Kusserow-Schmidt admitted apologized to board members, administrators, and students, and the communities of Forest City and Eagle Grove. The city of Davenport is appealing the reinstatement of its fired fire chief. Chief Lynn Washburn was let go on July 27th. City documents have said she's unstable or unfit for continued employment, but city officials have not provided more details. The city's Civil Service Commission granted Washburn's request November 8th to be returned to a position in line with a district chief. That's the position she'd held at the Rockford, Illinois Fire Department before Davenport hired her in 2011. The city appealed November 28th in Scott County District Court, says putting Washburn in such a position would be contrary to Iowa law and the state Supreme Court precedent. Well, some police officers in a northeast Iowa city are being cross-trained as firefighters to expand public safety coverage. The All Cedar Falls police officers hired after July 1st, 2016, are required to cross-train in firefighting to become public safety officers, but the city will still have a force of career firefighters and police officers. Public safety officials say the cross-training is so that the city can always have a full-time firefighter available to increase efficiency. Public safety officials arrived early and suppressed fires until the fire crews arrive. The city hasn't hired any full-time firefighters since July 1st of 2016. Critics question the cutback on full-time firefighter staffing, which has yet to be determined. Iowa City police officers will meet with community residents next week during the department's next Coffee with a Cop event. The event will be held December 15th at the Casey's General Store in Broadway on Iowa City. The meeting is an opportunity for residents to ask questions, voice concerns, and get to know police officers in a relaxed setting over a cup of coffee. Those planning to attend should send their reservations to the Coffee with a Cop Facebook event to receive updates and reminders about the event. Additional information is available online, and there's a link to that under this same story on our webpage. Also in the news this morning, a chilly plunge by more than 200 people into Clear Lake in north central Iowa recently raised $10,500 for area charities. The money from the annual Polar Bear Club event will go to support the area chapters of Toys for Tots and the Make-A-Wish of North Iowa. This year's event, which is held during the annual Christmas by the lake, brought in less money and fewer dippers than in the past 2 years, despite the warmer conditions. Last year, the event raised $13,000, with more than 300 individuals participating. Our news was brought to you today by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.